Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to The Promised Land, a show all about Manchester United and part of the 90 Min Podcast Network. I am Scott Saunders, joined as ever by football journalist and season ticket holder at Manchester United, Rob Blanchett. You can subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, etc. And you can watch us too twice a week on Tuesdays and Fridays on YouTube, although we're dropping this show a little bit earlier just for the listeners. So head over to our YouTube channel, hit the like button, subscribe and join the community. And the link should be in the description of this episode. If you're listening on audio, Rob, how are you doing today?
Not too bad, Scott. I'm in a good mood today because Manchester United got to a major cup final. So we're going to talk about that today and obviously discuss here with each other and our audience about the positives of that achievement.
We will indeed. Positives are hard to come by at United at the moment, but we'll talk about the Youth Cup final appearance that is on the horizon for United at the moment. We'll talk about some potential future stars who've been tearing it up at that level and whether we can expect to see them in the next few months at a higher level. First team level, possibly. We'll see. We'll do a bit of chat later on about Mauricio Pochettino as well, because on Wednesday night, they were typically in PSG fashion, dumped out of the Champions League via a collapse of PSG proportions. We've seen it before. Was that the worst? I don't even think that was the worst one. I remember that Barcelona 6-1. This was similar, but we'll talk about, you know, what Pochettino could have done about that. He's getting a lot of stick. Of course he is. You can, you know, there's the Spurs links. I think Harry, who produces the podcast, tweeted, you could take Pochettino out of Tottenham, but you can't take Spurs out of Pochettino, or what, something along those lines. And United actually play Tottenham on Saturday as well, so we'll look ahead to that. And we'll also do some transfer talk at the end of the show. Tony Rudiger and Robert Lewandowski have been linked in the last few days. We'll dig into that too. But let's start with the positives. And just before we do, a reminder, you can follow us on Twitter at @ScottSaunders, @Rob_B, and @PromisedLandMU. But the positives are, United have reached their first Youth Cup final since 2011 after a win over Wolves on Wednesday night. Now, that team in 2011 had the likes of Paul Pogba in it, Ravel Morrison, Jesse Lingard, and, you know, things are looking bright. There's two names in particular we'd like to talk about here, Charlie McNeil, Alejandro Garnacho. And let's get into it, Rob. What do you make of all this? I mean, it's good news at a time of negatives from every angle.
Well, the Manchester United universe at the moment, for obvious reasons, is selling sadness over and over again, negativity. And there's reasons for it, isn't there? You know, the team are not very good. They're not playing particularly well. We could go on about that till we're blue in the face, I'm sure we will. But there is a big positive happening behind the scenes, and it's something that I think, you know, Man United fans who have been with the club their whole life, certainly what maybe Twitter calls legacy fans these days, are always very, very interested in the youth system and interested in the Youth Cup. You know, Youth Cup is a huge heritage when it comes to Old Trafford and our football club and how it's structured. So Manchester United have made their way to another Youth Cup final. It's the first one since Paul Pogba was in the youth team. So there's a little bit of joining dots there in terms of the success of maybe the class of 92, moving through to that Pogba era where it wasn't so successful, even though they had a lot of talent. And now you're moving on to a new set of players. And Manchester United have got a couple of worldies in their team, a couple of real young lads who look like they could make it.
Let's talk about Garnacho, because he's been making waves on social media in United circles and like within United for a good few months now. There was a goal scored a little while back where he essentially ran from the edge of his own box to go score a goal on his own. And he's been making some waves this week as well, because I think he's had a choice between Spain and Argentina about who he represents. But he's actually been called up to the Argentina senior team Although I think it is it's a bigger squad, so I'm not sure whether it would be trimmed down. Maybe you know a bit more there, Rob. But, you know, that's a statement, isn't it? I mean, this kid's got something.
Yeah, it is a statement. He was originally at Atletico Madrid. He is Madrid-born, obviously with Argentinian heritage. And he was once described, before he came to Manchester United, as a jewel of the crown of Atletico Madrid. They really did see him as really their future homegrown superstar. So he's been on the radar for a long time. Manchester United nicked him, like they go and nick some talents in Europe now and then.
They have been doing that quite well in the last few years, though, as well, haven't they? Because they did get a bit of stick for not doing this that well.
Yeah, like this is why I made that distinction there about the class of 92 and the Pogba era of youth players. Because obviously we had Ravel Morrison there, and Ravel Morrison still considered today as, you know, the best young talent United had that never got through. So there's always that little, you know, buck stops with United. What do United really want to do? Do they want to promote youth, or are they just going to be a Galactico kind of super club? And we know that Ed Woodward wanted to be a Galactico type super club. But the underlying fact here is that we've been talking a lot about Erik ten Hag and Ajax and the system of bringing through youth, you know, and that's a recurring narrative at Man United. And now you've got this young lad, Garancho. And he, you know, he's still young. He's still green. He still needs to learn. He
needs to fill out a bit as well, I would say.
Of course. He does need to fill out. Like, we're talking about comparison. Some people are saying, oh, he's the next Ronaldo. I think he's more akin to Giggs. You know, I think he's more kind of that way inclined. And I also mean that in development. So I think even though he is still, you know, I think he's 17, isn't he? 17.
He doesn't turn 18 until July 1st.
He's more like Giggs was at 17 rather than Ronaldo was at 17. You know, so he has to fill out, of course. But I do think that we're at a stage in football where the young get younger and the old get older. And what I mean by that is the gaps between what you can play at the very top are widening. So you're getting these 17 and 18 year olds who almost look like the finished products at that age. You kind of think, wow, normally they would look a bit more green than they do. I'm not saying Garancho is ready, but I do want to see him in the first team, in the first team set up soon. Because we've talked about United's lack of inspiration at the top end. Ranić's talked about youth being the answer to motivation. You know, those guys on their first contracts who will just run and run and run for the manager. And we've got players there all ready to do it. So I want to see whoever the next coach is now next season, but I would like to see Ranić now do it, is to start integrating these boys on match days.
Yeah, Garnacho scored a lovely goal again on Wednesday night. So he's been making some waves for a while. I mean, Hannibal Medjbri is someone we've talked about on previous episodes, as we pointed out before we started recording, has been promoted to the first team. So he wasn't part of this, but that, he does seem like he will be the next one by the looks of it, but there might even be a couple of names behind him. And Charlie McNeil is the other one I wanted to speak about as well. I've written down in my notes, golden boy, with a, you know, a little A in the goal, because he scores a lot of goals and there's a big fuss about him as well. I think, you know, he's prolific, isn't he? And United need something like that to come through on the horizon.
Yeah, and he's also the modern striker. And what do I mean by that? Well, again, we've talked on our show about it, about what a number nine is today. And I think number nines are closer, say, to Harry Kane in type now, where they can drop off, play the number 10 role, link a little bit more, work around the box as well as just in it. But he can do all of those things. So again, he's 18 now. Again, not saying he's ready, not saying he's the answer. But when you're talking about having a lack of striking options in your squad, then you've got to look lower down the chain, haven't you? You've got to look at what you've got there. And I think with Garancho, yep, time will tell. And I think next season will be more about for him and integrating him and getting him in a red shirt on match days. But I do think when you look at McNeil, there's something about him. He's mature beyond his years. As you said, he is prolific. He scores lots of goals. And he's one of our own. You know, and we could probably start singing that song about him at Old Trafford on match days.
Do you want to tell the backstory about him being one of our own?
Well, yeah, the backstory is that he was at Man United first and foremost when he came to the football club when he was young, part of the youth system. He did go to Manchester City, and that was when Manchester City were doing their whole, you know, eating up all the talent everywhere, the Jadon Sanchos, et cetera, et cetera. But he did come back to Manchester United. He decided, United, I think, paid a fee of just under £1 million for him when he was still just a kid. And that was viewed as also an investment. They felt that this was a player who would have a big price tag in years to come, and they wanted to tempt him back to United. So he has a history with the football club. I think he's from Gorton originally, so he's a Manchester boy. He could well be Manchester United's version of Harry Kane, which would be ironic, isn't it, if Manchester United went and bought Harry Kane himself in the summer.
Harry Kane will be at Old Trafford this weekend. We'll talk about the Tottenham game that's on the horizon a little bit later, but McNeil scored twice against Wolves, Garnacho with the other, and there were about 6,000-7,000 at Old Trafford to watch, which is a good turnout. And
it's for a bunch of kids, isn't it? You know, 7,000. Yeah. It's like, you know, that if a League Two club got 7,000, they'd be dead happy. So I think it shows that United fans are really enthused by the youth team.
Yeah, and Harry Maguire was there as well, I believe. He was not the only one either. I think Dean Henderson might have been. Maybe Harry Maguire's taking some inspiration.
And yes, we've been told that Harry Maguire was in the dressing room before the game, and he gave a speech to the players about what it means to play for Manchester United. So I thought that in itself was quite interesting. That's either not true and a bit of spin, or actually real leadership from a captain.
Let's hope he wasn't teaching them the wrong lessons, given the performances that he's been putting in over the last few weeks and months.
Don't do as I do.
It's good all round. We speak about McNeil and the comparisons to Harry Kane, perhaps. It's the second time I've dropped in Harry in this, but he's an Arsenal fan. You might have seen him if you watched some of the videos on 90 Min. Made the remark of, let's hope he brings more trophies to United than Harry Kane has managed to at Tottenham. So, we'll see. I mean, the future is bright, although the longer-term future, I would say, is bright. The immediate future might be more of a challenge. We'll talk about the Tottenham game shortly, but anything you want to touch on there, Rob, before we move on?
No, not really, but it's never as bad as it seems, and it's sometimes not as good as it seems as well. I think you're somewhere in the middle, and I think with the youth team that United need to conduct an operation in the future years now to get our youth through more successfully, because it's all very well finding your Paul Pogba, but then you didn't develop him. He left, developed at another football club, and then you went and bought him for like 80-odd million quid. So that isn't successful youth development. Funnily enough, Paul Pogba wanted to come back to Man United. So I do think that players come to the club and want to stick with it and want to be able to do well with United, and they have those connections. But it's something that United need to do better. And again, it's history, isn't it? We talk about the history of the football club, but it's not always present here in the present day.
Yeah, for sure. Let's move on to something that's occurred in the Champions League over the last few nights. United play Atletico Madrid next Tuesday. So we will have a show on Monday for you next up. So our Tuesdays and Fridays balance or weekly release is a little bit messed up at the moment. But we will have a section with Rio Ferdinand ahead of that game on the podcast. So keep an eye out for that, or keep your ears open for that to come out. Rio with some insights ahead of that game. I spoke to him early this week, but that will drop on Monday ahead of that game. Mauricio Pochettino, meanwhile, was with Paris Saint-Germain at the Bernabeu and obviously has been put up as one of the two main candidates to take over as Manchester United manager at the end of this season, possibly earlier if he becomes available. And epic purport that this was another fall of epic proportions from Paris Saint-Germain. Now, Pochettino had managed to guide PSG through the first leg, where they were very much on top and Real Madrid kind of went in their shell a little bit and Kylian Mbappe unlocked the door late on. He was left open quite frequently at the Bernabeu in the reverse leg and managed to put Real Madrid 2-0 down on aggregate before a wild comeback. Now, PSG have previous for this. We mentioned earlier about bottling it to Barcelona in the past under different coaches. And, you know, Real Madrid powered back with 3 goals in, I think, 16 minutes or something like that to turn the tie completely on its head. And PSG's players just looked to completely lose themselves. They did not know what was happening. This was a tidal wave of Real Madrid players. And I think everything was epitomized, really, by Luka Modric absolutely crunching Lionel Messi at one point when he was chasing him backwards. But they just wanted it more. Now, fans of United have used this performance to level massive criticism at Pochettino. So, Rob, I think we're on the same page here, but like, is this his fault? And does this mean that he is an awful choice for the next Man United manager?
Oh, sigh. No is the answer, obviously, to that. Unfortunately, this all becomes a big game, doesn't it, Scott? And I'm talking specifically about Man United fans. Personally, I'm not too bothered what happens at PSG this season. They could win, become champions of the universe. It doesn't mean that Pochettino is the right or wrong coach for Man United. And unfortunately, again, football fans have got this very acute view of trophies or success and about why you get someone. I talk about shiny toys, don't I, all the time. And fans are the same as the football club. They look at the value of that and they say, oh, well, you won this, therefore you're the right choice. No, it doesn't work like that. I think in chemistry terms, I think with Pochettino, for me, nothing has changed. He's a very good coach. I'm more interested in what he did in the Premier League than anything that he does in France. I do think that the French League is deficient. I really do. So with a PSG win it or not, is neither here nor there. You lose to Real Madrid. It's a bad result. It's a bad night. But hey, you know, you're looking at maybe Ajax and Ten Hag, and Ajax had a really bad result to Tottenham in a Champions League semi-final where they were leading 3-0. So does that make Ten Hag rubbish? So this problem with social media, and also I'll say the fan channels, not calling them out, but I think it's worth noting, is that there's too much of this swaying back and forth about populism, about who is right and who is wrong. You know, my manager, this is my manager, so I must be right because they won this week. Football just isn't like that, I'm afraid. If you have a longer term, you know, outlook and you want your team to be successful, you've got to build it organically. It cannot be about one or two results and that kind of shock jock that we feel all the time on Twitter. Because I don't think it helps a football club at all.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of, oh, Pochettino should have reacted and taken off one of his famous front three. Like, the people above him at PSG wouldn't have kicked off about that if he'd have taken Messi off, for example, or he would have got... If he'd taken Messi off and PSG had gone through, he'd have been killed in the press.
And it's the same issue that United are having with Ronaldo, isn't it? It's the same issue, is that you buy the superstars and the superstars then feel that they have to play and the fans feel that the superstars have to play. But when the superstars don't deliver, is the coach allowed to change them in and out? Well, as you just said there, I think at PSG, it's the same issue as Man United in the sense that you've got this icon and you can't take him off because that becomes the story, doesn't it? You know, if Messi gets substituted and you lose that game, then people will say, oh, you should have kept Messi on a football pitch. Yeah. So how do you win if you're the coach? I think the truth is that coaches need to be empowered. They need to make the choices when it comes in and out of the team. I don't think that you'd probably want to take Messi off if you're trying to win a football match. Like, if he's still your guy, you know, what have you got on the bench? What are you going to do? Suddenly go defensive and stick another centre-back on? You're not going to do that, are you? So I think for Pochettino, PSG's probably just not a good fit for his coaching style.
Yeah, I mean, when you've got a front three like that of three of the highest profile players in the world, obviously Mbappe was great, but, you know, there was a lovely bit of skill, but he was offside twice.
Whenever a club is run by players, you're always in trouble.
Yeah.
So PSG are run by players, and there isn't an argument at Manchester United that the senior players do maybe have too much say and influence on stuff when it comes to it. So when we talk about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer remaining or not, you know, I don't think the players got in the sack, but certainly their body language, their performances on the football pitch showed a little bit too much.
You look at Ten Hag as well and think, oh, well, Pochettino's struggling to manage a team of Neymar and Mbappe and Messi and get the best out of them. Ten Hag's never managed with that before. He's never had that experience. So if you're considering like, oh, Poch has shown that he can't do it with PSG, what do you think? Well, you can just chuck someone untried in there instead.
Look, I'm
not saying that I prefer, but I'm probably more Ten Hag than Pochettino camp at the moment. But there's problems with whichever one you appoint.
Because it's totally
deeper problems.
Look, Tuchel couldn't do it at PSG, got sacked, had a few months off, won the Champions League with Chelsea, with an arguably inferior Chelsea team. He'll probably still inferior to PSG today. So it can be done. And I don't think you should judge managers simply on results or simply on trophies. You've got to look long term. It's got to be about personality fit, Scott. You've got to look at someone if you're trying to employ for an elite business and you want people in the right positions. you've got to look at personality and how they do things.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, PSG are out of the Champions League now. There were suggestions that Poch could even face the sack earlier than the end of the season. There's been, I have this kind of feeling in my mind that is it really that bad a fit between club and Poch and players that out of spite, they might deprive him of the league title in France that he's in line to get because PSG are miles clear at the top of the league. But I think Leonardo came out and said after the game that this is not the time to throw things in the bin, per se. So it does seem like Pochettino will see out the remainder of the season. And of course, if they end up sacking him, they do miss out on a potential payoff that United would give them if they go and appoint Pochettino from PSG. So yeah, we'll see. But, you know, I don't think that one is going to be going into next season, regardless of whatever happens. And another point I wanted to kind of make as well is, I've seen some fans suggest, oh, if we go and get Pochettino, then Ten Hag will go to Man City in 2023 and they'll be perfect and Poch will fail at United and we should have got Ten Hag. Reverse those situations, City get Pochettino and they still win because City are, from the top down, organised and United aren't. So
that's the song we need to keep singing because this is the thing. It's like the coach is the most important guy at the football club in terms of your structure, but the structure comes from the board. So the board have to implement that first. So we just said there that personality-wise that maybe Poch doesn't fit PSG. And in the same breath, we said PSG are a little bit like Man United. So, you know, why would he be more successful at United? Or why would then Ten Hag come in and say, well, hang on, I've been doing it at Ajax with this youth system. We talked about that at the top of the show. And United have got a good youth system. However, I have to play the Ronaldos of this world or the structure towards the football club is superstars. So this is why culture is so important and culture needs to be reset. And United fans, I think, need to kind of take a deep breath because at the moment they're so exasperated and it's almost like hyperventilating around information around coaches. And this war now between Pochettino versus Ten Hag and United fans feeling they have to be in one camp or the other. Maybe, just maybe, don't be in any camp. Just take it away for a bit. Watch your football team and see what happens. Because this is why I was saying before that I was originally wanted Ranić to get the job. Because then you've got a coach, haven't you? And you don't have to think about it too much. I think United fans like to think about these things.
Yeah, let's look ahead to this weekend because Pochettino's former club Spurs rock up at Old Trafford. It's not a battle for the top four, really, is it? But it kind of is because United absolutely have to win this game.
Like a queuing system for the top four.
It is, isn't it? But we've seen in the past few years that there are clubs who just... That fourth position, it just seems like nobody's ever wanted it. So Arsenal are in poor position at the moment with a few games in hand. Tottenham have a few games in hand on United too. And if United lose this game, that's it. Is that it, do you think? Or are there going to be more twists and turns?
I think there might be a few more twists and turns. It's a must win for United in the same way it's a must win for Tottenham, in the same way that Arsenal games are all must wins. What I'm more interested in overall, and again, it just kind of links all our segments together nicely, is that we talked about Arsenal last week, and I don't want to do a kind of reoccurring Arsenal theme on this show because our audience will get bored. But Arsenal are doing it through taking the pain, taking the medicine, allowing the youth to develop and getting to where they want to be. You know, I'm going to say, Harry, our producer, just put up in our private chat here, you love Arsenal, admit it. So I don't love Arsenal, but I do like what they're doing. And I think that football clubs should be built around what Arsenal are doing at the moment. So you give Arteta the power to develop youth. The next Man United manager comes in, and we know we're talking about Spurs here, but going off topic, but you want them to be able to have the Garnachos and you want the McNeils, you want these guys to be given time, don't you, in the first team to develop. So there is a link here that Arsenal are doing it and they are being rewarded in football terms, in terms of their position in the division.
Yeah, United will go into this game with Spurs with... There were reports over the last few days that Cristiano Ronaldo hasn't been training because of the hip flexor problem that he's had. There was actual doubt about whether he was actually injured or not, but it does seem as though he is injured, or he has been injured. So
he's definitely injured. Like he's 100% injured. And again, this was a narrative before the derby, after the derby, and in the days following and stories have revolved now, haven't they, around this kind of discontentment around Cristiano. I believe that he went back to Portugal. So the story was he given, notice by United? Did United allow him to go back to Portugal? Well, if he's injured and he needs some time off, and let's be honest, he's played a lot of games, hasn't he, recently? He's going to end up having these injuries through repetition. So he probably needs a break. And let's be honest, Fergie used to do it with him all the time when he was a kid. He'd let him go back to Portugal to spend some time at home to recover. He probably needs a week or two off because he's played so many games. It's not his fault that he's got injured. It just happens.
Yeah. The guy is also 37.
Totally.
So as much as you want to see him play every single game, and as much as he might want to play every single game, I think we've learned this season that he's got to be managed in and out of the team, because it has to happen. It happens to everyone. And Ronaldo's been a great player. He's been so consistent. He's avoided injury and this kind of stuff for years and years and years.
Scott, he looks like an old man on the pitch now. When you watch him, there are periods in games where he's got his hands on his hips and he's got bent over double. And you can see he's struggling. So I think United need to look at that physical evidence and move on very quickly. So we just talk about McNeil at 18. I'm not saying that he is a direct replacement for Ronaldo, but do you know what? He might be. Look at Elanga. Elanga, at the start of this season, not one of us would have said that he'd be an automatic first-team starter, would we? And that was only a few months ago. And I think even when Ole was the manager, we'd have said, no, Elanga's nowhere near ready. Another year or two, maybe a loan spell. And he's come out. He's got his own song. He's burning it on a football pitch and proving that he's a Premier League player. I think United have got one or two diamonds hidden that they need to unveil.
Yeah, just to go back to Ronaldo and the Spurs game, do you think Ronaldo should be rushed back for this one? Is he?
No. Sorry to jump in on you. No. Because this is the whole point. That's why we're saying these things. If we're going to do it like this, where everything is about the stars and everything is about the kind of core narrative, then Manchester United are going nowhere. And fans have got a grip of that. Fans have got to know that that is how it is. Even if you love him and you've got his number on the back, number 7, and you sing his songs and you do the whole Sue dance every day when you get out of bed, it doesn't matter. This is a football club. You need to look at it from sporting terms. Cristiano is injured. There is no point in rushing him back because we need him later on in the season. The season isn't over. Of course, you'd want him back for Atletico. I think that maybe he'd be back for the Champions League, and that might be a better target to bring back for. I think the Tottenham game, you just go with what you've got. Is Cavani going to be available? Does he fancy it? I think that's probably a bigger question at the moment.
Does he fancy it is a good question.
I think that's a question now being valid.
Can I ask you about Cavani? Because how do you feel about that situation personally? Because it frustrates me, in a sense, to see that, yes, he is, I think he's, 34, 35?
34.
34. Now, okay, protect yourself and take care of your body and that kind of stuff. But is it too frequent? I think there's a growing narrative that the second season around Cavani has been, it's obviously been a failure for now, but it's just a frustrating one. He's getting a paycheck, but he's not really making himself available as often as he maybe should be.
Yeah, I think when he signed for the football club, we talked to kind of intermediates, people that knew him and one thing or another, to kind of get a little bit of lowdown on him. Now, obviously, everyone knows who Edinson Cavani is, but, kind of the mindset of the player. And one thing that came out repetitively, and certainly when he signed, was that he will not play injured. So if he's injured or not fit 100%, because he can't give his, he can't do that running, he can't do that high energy style, he will tell the manager, I'm not available. So that's something I think he's done throughout his career. And I think that's all we're seeing now. So he did have an ankle injury. He has trained off the back of that. And Ranić has confirmed that he looks quite good in training. But I do think this is a case of the player not making himself available. He's thinking, I haven't got long in my career. I'm not going to risk myself for a game at against Tottenham Hotspur. And that is, I think, more the story. And football fans, again, want players to put their bodies on the line and do all these things. But ultimately, players are brands and they're businesses themselves. And we know Edinson Cavani is already looking to the future outside of Manchester United. So if he gets injured badly at the end of this season, then that's the end of his career, isn't it? 34, you're not going to get that.
35 actually is 35. 35 last month.
So they're all getting older. You know, since they all get a year older very quickly, much more within a year. And I think for Cavani, that's the problem. This is why we are talking. We're talking about the youngsters, because you have got players in the background that you might be able to throw in and do what Alanga's done. I think what we probably will see, because the issue is maybe with Marcus Rashford, is that Rashford's form is so poor. Do you just try and play Rashford into form as a number nine? But I think most Man United fans would push against that.
Yes, indeed. We'll see how this Tottenham game goes. I don't really want to dig too far into it because I'm kind of sick of talking about the same issues of effort levels and this.
But
kind
it's
of
a
thing.
Yo-yo, isn't it? Because Spurs out. Spurs can go and beat Man City, and then Spurs will lose the next week. And Spurs will go and score five, and then Spurs are terrible the next week. So United are kind of in that vortex as well with Spurs, where Spurs could turn up, United could hammer them, or United could just have a little jog around and lose 3-0. So there's always that, isn't there, with this fixture? These two clubs are very, very samey in many ways.
Yes, indeed. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I don't really hold out much hope. I think the Champions League is the only thing that United have got to play for now this season, really, because I don't think United will end up getting top four. But you say there might be some twists and some turns, but we'll see this weekend. They definitely need to win if they want to get in the top four, I think. But we'll see how it goes. Rob, let's move on. Final section of the show today is a bit of transfer talk. Now, we've reported at 90 Min, and like it's come from different sources over the last few days as well, of United's interest in Antonio Rudiger at Chelsea, who's out of contract in June. And as we record this, Chelsea have been sanctioned, and it does mean now that they actually would not be able to extend Rudiger's contract. Like, I'm just thinking of this. So he is on his way out, and I think he was intending to anyway. But Chelsea's assets have been frozen because of Roman Abramovich, and the UK government have enforced a bunch of rules. And it does seem like they can't renew contracts of players, so Rudiger's out. And this is, as I say, fresh as we record this. But United have been interested in Rudiger over the last few months. And you wouldn't automatically think that Rudiger would jump to United because he's got a lot of options. But Ralf Rangnick's a fan. And we'll maybe do Rudiger first, and we'll talk about the second player in a second. But what do you make of the Rudiger interest, Rob? Can you see it coming off? And is he the right type of player to be targeting?
Potentially. I think when you look at Rudiger and obviously what he's achieved at Chelsea, he's obviously won the Champions League there. He had a little bit of a hit or miss time. I think earlier in his career, Chelsea fans were not particularly happy with him. Tuchel was proven working with the player just what he is. We knew what he is before he came to Chelsea, and that is he was a top international centre-back. Will he go to Manchester United? We'd heard a few months ago that there was some link and some smoke around that, in the sense that Manchester United like the player, and the player vitally would like to stay in the Premier League if the offer is right, if he's got the right offer. So there's still no doubt, I think, that the big European clubs are maybe his favoured destination. But you've also then got to understand that if if Barcelona and Real Madrid have money problems, they still continue to do. I know they're very active, but they can't really give out multiple big contracts in maybe the years gone by. That it means the English market remains the most desirable to both agents and players. So he's proved himself in the Premier League. He's proved himself. He can win a Champions League with an English club. And Manchester United might need a centre-back in the not-so-distant future. Will United go young and look for maybe like a Ted Mengi or someone like to come through? Possibly. But I think in the short term, that if you decide that, say, Harry Maguire and Victor Lindelof are surplus to requirements, I think we are moving towards that way. That you need to get someone proven, and you can pay him a big wage and get him for free. So I think there's also a little bit of smoke there, in the sense that he's not signed a pre-contract agreement with anyone yet, because you can do that with European clubs, and that's been completely taken off the table, which is really interesting, because I think by now we would have heard something. It's a little bit like Paul Pogba as well. Normally that circle from agents starts very early when they're going to a football club, and you hear about it long before the pre-contract is signed. And when they're available, it normally means that something else is going on in the background.
Yeah, true. I think a lot of it might depend on as well, you know, in United's case, especially, do they make the Champions League next season? And they can't approach Rudiger at the moment anyway. I think it's the final 30 days of his contract before they can actually make an approach.
Yeah, English clubs can't do that yet.
Between English clubs, whereas foreign clubs are able to in the last 6 months. But he's got plenty of options from what we know. Bayern have shown interest, PSG, Real Madrid. You know, there's a bunch of massive clubs in Europe who...
let's just compare and contrast with that. Christensen is going to Barcelona.
Yeah.
We know that. That's going to happen. He's not signed the deal, but we know that he's going to go to Barcelona. So this is what I mean, is that the fact that we don't really know what Rudiger is doing at the moment means, I think, that the kind of play is open, and it means Manchester United could exploit that.
Let's talk about one other player. Now, fans have been quite fast to brush this aside because it is kind of dreamland, but it doesn't mean that there's no interest there, because who wouldn't be interested in Robert Lewandowski? I think he's one of the older guard again, so I wouldn't advise that it's the best move to make, but he is still, you know, you think of Karim Benzema and you think of who scored a hat-trick against PSG, and then the night before, Robert Lewandowski scored a hat-trick himself and is probably the most prolific player in football in the world as it stands at the moment. Now, he's out of contract next summer, I believe, and, you know, I think there's been some interest. But Bayern might need to regenerate. He, like I say, he's 33, you know, 34, and if he's out of contract in, what, 18 months' time or less than that, then they're going to have to look to the future. And Erling Haaland's coming up on the market. There's going to be other players on the market too. Do they look to move Lewandowski on, and what does Lewandowski do? United have shown interest in him. I can't see it happening personally, but it doesn't mean that they can't show interest. So what do you make of... would Lewandowski be a great fit for number nine at United?
Be a great fit for the commercial department at Manchester United.
He would, yeah.
Yeah, but a big fat no from me. Look, again, when we talk about targets and who Manchester United should buy, what Manchester United should do, you can't just go by the past and past records and history and go, oh, well, you know, if you got Lewandowski 5 years ago, yeah, great. But scoring 40 goals a year in Germany is not the same as trying to score goals in the Premier League. It just is not. We're seeing it with Cristiano, aren't we? So Cristiano has been the most prolific goal scorer in history, you know, 800 plus goals, and has scored goals for Man United this year. Like, he hasn't not scored goals. Lewandowski would also score goals, but would he help you win? I think the answer to that is no, you need a different type of striker. So, you know, I quipped about Harry Kane at the start. Harry Kane as well is not particularly old, but he's not young either. He hasn't got years ahead of him. Manchester United need to start thinking really long-term about the striking position. You know, in the same way that Manchester City have gone out and bought Julian Alvarez, I think Pep said yesterday, he went, I smell goals. That was his answer to when they asked about Alvarez. That's all his answer was. I smell goals, and goals help you win. And that's how Man United need to be. You can't have these short-termisms about commercialism to get you where you need to be. You need to go and get that next player who's going to take you to the next level. You mentioned Haaland as well. I would love Haaland at Man United. I just think the competition might be a little bit too hot because every club in the world is going to want him. But if you did have an Erling Haaland, you could then build your attack around a really super elite number nine.
Yes, unfortunately, that pull that Ollie had once upon a time.
Yeah. But Ranić does know him, because Ranić, he played for Ranić's clubs at Red Bull. So, you know, Ranić has that link to Erling Haaland from his youth development. So we could argue and say that Ranić is actually more influential to someone like Haaland because of his being the technicality and the technical boss that he was for him when he was at Red Bull. Or you can say the Ollie part where they were friends and he was manager for him at Molde and all of that. Does that really matter years later? I'm not quite sure. But I do think that Ranić has the ear of Haaland and his people, because he's spoken to them and he was a guy that recruited him, first of all.
There are, however, even as a United fan, I can admit there are better choices for a player of age 21, 22 to move. There are better choices for him. I think, you know, Real Madrid will probably end up getting, especially after last night, Kylian Mbappe on a free. That's been mooted for 2 years or so. They've tried to sign him for big money, but he's out of contract in 6 months' time. Haaland will probably end up moving too. We should know in the next few weeks. I don't want, if he turns up at City, honestly, I can't be bothered.
I think now that the indication is that it won't be City. I think Bayern Munich might be the team. I think Bayern Munich, if they don't offer Lewandowski the deal that Lewandowski is kind of knocking on the door for, and again, we've just talked about being progressive, haven't we? You've already got a guy in the Bundesliga doing it at a rival, and you tend to go and nick that rival's players. You know, like Borussia Dortmund have been a feeder club for Bayern Munich for many, many years in some aspects. So that would not surprise me. And I do think as well, it's about the size of the contract. So he'll get a much bigger contract, obviously, at Bayern than he's got at Dortmund. But where does he go from that? If Mbappe goes to to Real Madrid, then the other destination in terms of big clubs are going to either be the English teams or PSG. So I think PSG would be more likely to pay the bigger contract. But Manchester United are also known for playing pretty big contracts. So I don't think they're out of the reckoning. It's just that I think they're more on the peripheral and the fringes.
This isn't the Man United section, but I'm actually just curious. With Mbappe going to Real Madrid and knowing that Barcelona managed to somehow pull off the funds to go and sign Ferran Torres, I just think that there's an appeal there of Messi versus Ronaldo 2.0 and Haaland could end up at Barcelona. That's my bet anyway. But I don't know. I think stranger things have happened.
Yeah, of course. But does he fit what Xavi wants to do long term? So are Barcelona going to try and do a quick reboot and try and get themselves back in the title picture next year? Or will they look, you know, below the surface and try and build something in that kind of Catalan image, you know, that old Dutch style image, having Xavi in charge? Because that's what you would expect with Xavi being there. However, it doesn't mean that's going to be the case. You know, can they really afford Haaland if he's on £500,000 a week? I think that, you know, at the moment, the answer to that is no. They can afford Ferran Torres because they can go and get a bank loan. You can't really get a bank loan for £500,000 a week for a new player. So this is the balancing act. But you're right. I do think that would be desirable in La Liga. Like, they want to pull some of that glamour back from the Premier League. So the Premier League's winning that battle. But that's why I think Bayern are also in with the big shout.
Yeah. I think there's just some magicking that Barcelona and Real Madrid can end up somehow doing that maybe people don't expect. But anyway, we're off topic. We're supposed to be talking about Man United.
It's all linked, Scott.
But sometimes, you know, United aren't the most fashionable thing to talk about, and sometimes it can get quite draining. But we have done some positives on United today at the start of the show. And hopefully we'll be talking some positives on Monday after United play Tottenham. Fingers crossed. I'm not sure whether United will manage to win this game, but do you have a gut feeling about how it'll go?
No, I don't, because it's so erratic, isn't it? And I think that this is why it's tough being a Man United fan at the moment. You know, I'm talking about the supporter base in general, because you just don't really know what you're getting. And this is why I also play devil's advocate and go the other side and say, well, they could still win the Champions League. They are that erratic and that crazy that they could go and do something marvelous and shock us, because they do have the talent. It's just whether Ralph can get these guys doing the right things week after week. I think what we're seeing, I said after the City game, and I got a bit of flack for it, I said that he got the tactics right, that Ralph got his tactics in place. Now, I want to see that team come out for the next game, because I think that if you have a team that's not Man City, those tactics will probably work in a Premier League. It was pretty good energy in the first half. It's just that you've got to find a way to maintain it. So I think with Man United, it's going to be a tough game, obviously, against Spurs, and there's lots more tough games to come in the weeks ahead. So United need to be a bit more secure in their own skin about what they do on a football pitch.
We'll see how it goes. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Just a reminder, you can subscribe to our show wherever you get your pods, on Apple, Google, Spotify, etc. And you can watch us twice a week on the Promised Land YouTube channel on Tuesdays and Fridays generally, although we've said that over the last few weeks and we've changed our days a little bit earlier. I don't think we'll ever be late, but, you know, or if we are going to be late or miss a time, then we'll let you know ahead of
time.
Follow
us on Twitter. You'll find out everything. The minute it changes, we'll tell you.
You will indeed. You can find us at _ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B, and @PromisedLandMU on Twitter. Head over to the YouTube channel if you listen on our audio, because we'd love to build a subscriber base. Hit the like button, subscribe, and join the community. And you should find the link in the description of this episode. But thanks for listening, everyone. Fingers crossed United can get back to winning ways against Tottenham this weekend. But we'll see you early next week ahead of the Atletico Madrid Champions League game. Thanks for listening.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.